a diabetes breakthrough.
Hello, America. Welcome to ATN with me, Kate Delaney. It looks like the Kane train is out of gas, and in the meantime, the Senate passes a defense bill. Just in the nick of time. Anytime there's a threat to the people working in the military when it comes to their check, you don't mess with a man's check. And especially when you're asking them being the military, the voluntary military, by the way, to put themselves in harm's way in some wretched conditions where the rules of engagement are outrageous. I think it's equally as outrageous that you would withhold money because you can't come to some kind of an agreement, to pass a bill that would fund these folks. And I mean, there's other things that were stuffed into it, of course. It's ridiculous. It's like the everything in the refrigerator enchilada. We're going to try to stick it all in there. That's an old trick that we've done for a long time in Washington. Then we'll yell at each other for a while. And then finally, if you're lucky, we'll pass it. And it did on Thursday. It was giant. And the controversy is done as far as that's concerned. The defense bill passes 93-7. So it keeps with the budget cuts anyway. $662 billion bill. It would shrink Pentagon spending by $43 billion from last year, but it includes funding for the wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, and weapons defense and personnel programs that were at the Defense Department that were shaky. So the debate was pretty nasty. You tune into that lame channel. What is it? It's C-SPAN. I shouldn't say it's lame. It's just you have to hit it when something lively is going on. So there was some hot debate. I only saw a little bit of it, a tiny window, but just in time to hear a little bit of shouting. And there was definitely that. Because, you know, one of the main things that was on the floor was the struggle over who should investigate, detain, and try suspected terrorists. Here we go again. The civilian courts or the military courts? What do you think? Do you want to trot these guys out, Mirandize them, pump them into a civilian court, take the chances, or should it be military courts? Well, military. I'm clear, military. Military, military, military. That makes sense to me, especially if you look at what's happened at Gitmo. I mean, honestly, boom, let's move on with the process. And then if you want due process, let's get the process going there instead of the cockamamie arguments about bringing people over from Gitmo, which would cost a fortune because nobody ever talks about that part of it, and then rearranging some prison, which would, yes, eventually have some jobs attached to it, but there would also be money attached to working that prison over to make it acceptable. But that's all a moot point because that's not happening. That was conversation, you know, a year ago. Now you have the, you know, who is the responsibility belong to? To the law enforcement people, the various agencies, pick one, the federal courts, and then the argument that this could affect us, if you really looked at the definition of it. I mean, us meaning the upstanding, theoretically, the upstanding American who could be detained indefinitely by the military. So it is kind of murky. Due process, holding American citizens without trial. I mean, that's what Dianne Feinstein would argue, and that's what she did argue. That's when I was listening. And then, you know, you have Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, who says you never use the military. If you look at the people on the left, they would never use the military. And they say law enforcement has to be used because they don't think we're really in a war. I love that because that's what I think. I think that people don't really think we're in a war. And so he's saying they want to just criminalize the war. Ultimately, here's the thing. that's kind of skirted for now because they reached an agreement to amend the bill to make it clear it's not an intent to allow for an indefinite detention of any U.S. citizens and others who are legally in the country. So that's what it is. In the present form, that's how it stands at this point. It could change, but it did pass. So, you know, approving this means that the president would have to, at this point, is developing that plan to get the troops withdrawal from Afghanistan. We'll expedite it. That's what would have to be on the menu. And that's supposed to be done by 2014. I mean, look, it's time to bring everyone home. I think it's time to bring everyone home. And I salute everyone who's served. They don't, in my opinion, and it's not that the military is seeking that. I've met some fine people in all branches of the military that are not looking for that. They're not looking for the massive pat on the back, even though I think they deserve it. But we have to recognize with the money we've spent, with the lives that have been lost, with the limbs that have been lost, with the families that have been sacrificed, we're at war, folks. I mean, come on, we are. So we can argue about what happens with terrorists, domestic terrorists, military, are they in a military prison or a brig, and they have no rights? Is that what it would come down to? Is that what would happen? Or not? Or just completely go in the opposite direction? So 93-7, the president could veto it, but really, is it likely that he would veto it? I'm going to say probably not. Herman Cain has definitely torpedoed his chances of being president. No matter if you think he's been skewered too much and it's slanted for whatever reasons, here's one of the main things that's sad about this. What about his wife? And that's the question that keeps coming up, that she wasn't aware that he had this friend, this businesswoman in Atlanta. Here's Cain talking about that.
She had told me that she was not able to get financial help from family and friends, and that, quite frankly, I was the only person that was a friend at the time, and I underscore friend, that was in a position to help her. My wife now knows. My wife and I have talked about it, and I have explained it to her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my wife understands that I'm a soft-hearted giving person. My wife did not know about it, and that was the revelation and the surprise that my wife found out about it when she went public with it.
All right, so she's got the skinny anyway at this point, but certainly did not know. And you heard what he had to say about giving her money, and it still seems pretty vague that he's befriended her or helped her out financially, or, you know, she's saying no, and he's saying he gave her money for bills and expenses, and he's denying that they were together in any way. She's saying the opposite and producing phone bills, 60 phone calls in one day and all that stuff. So at least it's clear he's going to wait to talk face-to-face with his wife, not just through phone or other means, on Friday before he makes any decision about his campaign. Maybe he does surprise us all and decide that he's going to continue to go on. Coming up, too late and utterly unbelievable. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Nick Wadena with Midas Resources. If you have an IRA or 401k, did you know you can turn that nest egg into a physical gold and silver nest egg? Do you know what kind of specific precious metals are allowed by law to be in retirement accounts? Did you know that you can take physical delivery of these precious metals? Would you like to know more? It's a fact. Stocks and mutual funds have been a wild ride, and many people's retirement funds have taken large hits. If you put $100,000 in gold in January of 2009, it would be worth over $200,000 today. If you put $100,000 in silver, then it would be worth over $300,000 today. As bailouts for banks and the seemingly endless printing of money continued worldwide, the value of the dollar could decline further, in turn possibly pushing gold and silver much, much higher. Protect what you work so hard for. Call me, Nick Wadena, 1-800-686-2237, extension 343, and learn what your options are. Again, that's 1-800-686-2237, extension 343. Once again, 1-800-686-2237, extension 343.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Delaney, the too late part of what I just mentioned heading into the break is this. Penn State, check it out, is now going to donate $1.5 million in bowl money because, of course, they're going to a bowl. They're going to donate that money to groups that work with sex crime victims. Now, why do you think they're doing that? Of course, because they're in the court of public opinion, they're dead. What did the institution cover up? What did they know? Why did they do something? I mean, the school's being battered around. What image, I would say? Scale of 1 to 10, their image? 1 being the worst, 10 being the best? -1. Really? And, of course, because of Jerry Sandusky and these sex charges against their former assistant football coach. The university presidents... Now, loud and proud about it, Rod Erickson, and it's not on him, he's the new guy, new kid in town. He promised that they're going to pony up that money to help to do something. Instead of putting it in the athletic department, it's going to go to the Pennsylvania Coalition Against Rape and the National Sexual Violence Resource Center. Well, that's good for those two groups, but it's too late. It's an obvious ploy at trying to gain back some credibility. Am I being too harsh? No. I mean, sure, they need to now do something. Yes. But, you know, it's like Michael Vick. And I know this is a different kind of a stretch here, but follow me. It was Michael Vick was involved with murdering dogs. You know, the whole the whole thing with the dog fighting. And he did do time where you have people that have murdered people and they haven't done as much time as Michael Vick. So from that point of view, he served his time. It's over with, whatever. If he drowned some dogs and did some horrific things, you know, I don't think he's the nice guy to do that. But he paid the price, and a bigger price than some people pay for actually killing humans. But here's the thing that I didn't like. The second he came out, and I understand that they're trying to repair his image, but it just seems so phony baloney to me. It was so quick that he was doing things for animal shelters and teaching. They were putting out PSAs, public service announcements on TV that he would be with dogs and he was going to do everything to help dogs, stray dogs. It's like, wow. Sorry, you just can't pull that 180 out of your back pocket just like that. There has to be a little bit of time before you do it. So the sincerity is there. And this president, I mean, he does. He has to do something. So he reaches out the way that he knew how to, because they were going to get this resource. They were going to have this money come in. And really, a lot of this is because he was out at a student town hall forum, and of course they were pummeled with questions they just couldn't even answer. I mean, the students want to Penn State to thrive, of course they do, but they also are very upset and want answers to things that have happened, and this was a way, I guess, to soothe that over. But to me, it's just a little too late. Somebody should have done something a long time ago, and I don't know that they can ever really completely make up for that. In the meantime, on Thursday, Jerry Sandusky's lawyer is saying he hasn't discussed pleading guilty with his client at all, that he's maintaining he's innocent of the charges against him. Joe Amendola is his attorney. He's saying he's going to consider possible alternatives with Sandusky if new charges are filed. That means more victims are coming forward, because right now you've got 8 boys, 40 criminal counts. But he's never considered a plea, and he's waiting his preliminary hearing now at this point. I guess he was asked that question, you know, what if more charges were to come out, more victims, would they consider it? So, because Amendola is out there all over the place talking about this, talking about, you know, his client's innocence and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Now, the Second Mile, which is the charity, an iconic charity, just like the iconic coach Joe Paterno, Sandusky started the charity, but because of the alum base for Penn State, the powerful alumni association, and so many people involved in the Second Mile on the board of directors, who's who in sports, all that kind of stuff, the money that they had going through there, the Second Mile is worried about the legal liabilities, and they're saying they don't, you know, they're trying to figure out what's going to happen, and you know, they're agreeing to some kind of court approval before transferring any assets or closing or giving you know, their client, because people are donating this money, the ability to weigh in before a judge regarding what they're going to do with the assets. I mean, the Second Mile is a nonprofit for at-risk children, but Jerry Sandusky founded it in 77. So you've got a bunch of attorneys who are trying to protect the claim of their clients' plans to also attach to the assets of the Second Mile. So you have clients, I'll call them clients or donors of the Second Mile who are concerned, and then you have the people that are suing that would include the Second Mile, the possibility of that, because that's tied to Sandusky for any kind of a monetary settlement. So the Second Mile is in the middle of all of this too. They're saying their December programs are going to continue, and they're not right now. There's no plans to close the door. I wonder if they can weather the storm too. And, you know, Joe Paterno has that statue outside of Beaver Stadium, and somebody sent me a text message earlier in the day. I mean, here's a good one for you. You think of statues, Michael Jordan outside the United Center. Think of other iconic people and their statues that are outside some of our, you know, beloved stadiums, whatever you hold near and dear. And certainly Joe Paterno, who was coaching until all of this happened, that statue, you saw it every single time. Anytime there was a game, they'd have shots of that, and they're talking about whether they would remove it or not, or that, you know, would they remove Paterno's name from the campus library, because the Paterno family has donated millions of dollars, and they're going to have to, I don't think they're going to do that overnight, but I think that they're going to consider that. Somebody sent me this text that they're going to consider doing that. Do you think they should ditch his statue and take their name off the library stuff? Topple the statue because of the disgrace of the way that he went out? I don't know. Maybe the statue stays, but the name on the library, maybe that changes. All right, the other story that I wanted to bring up, because the other part of that was utterly unbelievable. To me, this is unbelievable. Would you eat horse meat? I mean, there's a question for you. Right from the get-go, there's other things we could dive into here, but let's start with our gut. Would you eat horse meat? The president signed the spending bill into law back in November with a piece of legislation, this is what always happens, that went unnoticed. The Consolidated and Further, this is what it's called, the Consolidated and Further Continuing Appropriations Act for fiscal year 2012. It's H.R. 2112, right? And it allocated funding for a bunch of departments, including agriculture. Say, okay, so what do they do in agriculture? Part of the bill, it lifts a five-year-old ban on the slaughter of horses for meat, because it's only been since 2006 when they didn't allow that. No federal funds to do that, so any kind of domestic slaughtering. So there are no horse slaughterhouses in the U.S. If that changes, the USDA is saying they would conduct inspections to ensure that there were humane methods of handling the animals and humane slaughter. Oh, I'm sorry. Just the thought of thinking that horses could be legally chopped up, butchered. All of the people that are listening to us in Kentucky would, I'm sure, cringe about this. They're saying no money was actually allocated for horse meat inspections in the bill. Then it's up to the USDA to find the money in a budget that has no give. So can you imagine? The Humane Society has already published a horse slaughter petition act. I mean, horses in America, they're not raised for food. They're companions. They're symbols of the West. They're all kinds of things. But for food? I don't think so. What do you think, America? 800-259-5791.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. Utopiasilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now Utopiasilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit utopiasilver.com, utopiasilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Jason Lewis here. With the holidays just around the corner, be sure to consider the greatest gift you can give to your friends and family.
peace of mind. That's why I choose WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious ready-made meals like cheesy lasagna, savory stroganoff, and pasta Alfredo that are packaged for freshness in individual metal Mylar pouches and carry a 25-year shelf life. And they're ready to eat in minutes. Simply add hot water. Request a free entree sample today at WiseFoodStorage.com. And for a limited time, get free shipping and 10% off of your order. That's right, a free entree, free shipping, and 10% off any order. Just use promo code Lewis. Call 855-FOODWISE. That's 855-366-3947. Or visit wisefoodstorage.com. That's Wise, W-I-S-E, foodstorage.com. Gourmet emergency food at the best price and the greatest gift you can give to the ones you love this holiday season.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
Burglars love easy targets, like a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television, so from outside it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, comes with AC adapter, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and give one or more for Christmas. Now through Christmas, get free standard shipping on any quantity fake TV purchase. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. Faketv.com, the burglar deterrent.
Just walk away, pretending everything's okay, and you don't care about me. And I know it's just no use when all your life.
Wow, continuing the whole idea of slaughtering horses, whew, that just doesn't fly with me. I don't know if it works with the rest of you. And in fact, I'm sure for a lot of people listening to America Tonight, it doesn't. Kathy McPherson, for one, she's always sending me great shots of horses that she was involved with. Trey's another one. He sends a lot of different photos he posts on Facebook that are of the farm and the different horses that amazing thoroughbreds that he's been involved with in Kentucky. So I can't imagine that you're on board with this, with the slaughtering of horses. Just the idea. Something there has to give. Let's hope that it doesn't come down to it. But you know what? Here's the thing. You think of the economy. You think of people involved with horses and some of these situations, and it's not that far-fetched that, of course, now legally somebody can do that under whatever conditions. But would you even, I mean, just to me, even the thought of eating horse meat. Oh, forget it. No way. I'd become a vegetarian first. If that was my option, then I'm doing the vegetarian thing. On with the power foods that pharmacist Ben is always suggesting to us. Give me the Brussels sprouts with the oil and the salt. And you know, I'll take that. I'll eat cashews and the Brussels sprouts over the possibility of having to eat horses. Oh, all right. We've got more controversies, of course, to chew up here on ATN. And also a reminder, coming up in our next hour, another nail the score. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty here. We have a handful of games left, and then the season is over. We haven't had a winner yet. A couple of people have come close. Maybe it's your turn to win Nail the Score. It's kind of like playing the lottery, only you don't have to pony up any money. You just have to call in, tell us who you think is going to win the game. You don't have to know anything about football. Pick a side and tell us what the final score is going to be. And let me tell you, you can analyze games upside down, forwards, backwards, and it doesn't matter. You can still lose those games. So that's why I say, It's just really a game of chance just to have some fun and to maybe crown a champion and clear out the prize closet again. Perfect time for that to happen because, of course, Christmas is coming up soon. We're headed into what now? We're headed into a weekend where we've got just a handful of weeks left, and it'll be Christmas time before you know it. I mean, almost Hanukkah now already at this point. So you'll be sitting down to Christmas dinner on a Sunday. How about that, a Sunday? I kind of like it better myself when it falls on Thursday, Friday, Wednesday. People drag out the days a little bit more. But Sunday's okay. Whatever day it falls on, that's all right. People, whether they have the money to spend it or not, people are spending money. Maybe that helps others in some tight economic situations, especially if they're spending locally. There was just a big push this last weekend to support local stores, to go to local stores only in wherever it is that you live, whether it was Ottumwa, Iowa, or Stamford, Connecticut, or any place in the great state of Illinois, Austin, Texas, Dallas, Texas. It's just to go down the street and go to the mom-and-pop shops, as they call them, if you can find any in your neighborhoods. And the strip malls, there's always, I think, there's always still people that have their stores. But they're competing against the big box stores that have lower prices with the junk that's made in China. So I think a lot of people did go out and do that, and that's good. The more we push for supporting local economies, and the more we push for supporting American-made goods, I think the better. Because, you know, frankly, we say this all the time, we don't do enough. And we support all the other economies, especially Red Dragon, than our own. And that's because you head for the low prices and you turn things over. I mean, I'll issue the challenge again. I do it every once in a while, probably every 3 weeks or so, just to kind of challenge myself, actually. And I said this, you'd be surprised at what is made in China or someplace else. You turn things over, look at the bottom, look for the tiny sticker, and it's probably not made in America. How much of the stuff in your house is not American made? If you had to take a guess at the percentage, what would the percentage be? 60%? 50%? I think it's pretty high. Or maybe you're really conscious of it. There's ways around it. You found the ways around it. And you try to buy everything American-made that you can, and you defy the odds. But the odds are that most of us really have a lot of stuff that, frankly, is not made here. You can get American-made jeans, the gusset jeans, and I'm sure there's others. You can get American goods, but you really do sometimes have to dig around for it, unless you do like the local thing where you have farmers markets and people have products there and they make them at their farms or at their homes or at their local businesses. So if you know where they are, that obviously that's better. That's why I like that Saturday thing. I hope there's more of that, and I hope more people end up paying attention and start to really, it's like jumping on folks for not knowing the nutritional value of what they're eating, because nobody reads labels. You grab things, you like the way it tastes, and you're whipping through the lines at the grocery store, and there was always that push, read the labels, look at the things, look at the saturated fats, know what's in your food, all that kind of stuff. Well, start to read the labels on what you're buying on non-perishable goods, everything that's not food. In fact, what's interesting is Seattle's Metro Transit had a ban on these Buy American ads. They had Buy American ads that were going to be posted on city buses, and they decided not to allow them. They weren't going to allow these Buy American ads, but so many people complained and were, you know, were furious that why won't you do that? That they decided to reverse the ban, and they were going to allow the ads, and saying that it doesn't express an opinion about a public issue, so they're going to allow that to happen. Bravo, because I thought it was so chicken that they weren't going to do that. They had so much criticism. They were being bombarded. Once again, the caller trees, people were blowing up the phone lines. So Seattle's public transit was, you know, they were in a nightmare situation after they said, no, Buy American ads. We're not going to do that. We're not going to have that campaign going. We're not going to do the shop locally because it's too political. We don't want to go there. We're not going to use those. We're not going to put those ads up. But how about that? They changed their mind. Mm-hmm. In fact, the ads that were rejected, all they said was, December is Buy American Month. Shop locally. Join Seattle's tapamerica.org. And so they flipped on that. And the group was paying about $9,000 for the ads to be posted on 45 buses that went through major shopping districts in downtown Seattle and Bellevue, Washington. And they were shot down because of what I just said, that they were too political, and that's ridiculous. Too political to say Buy American, that's a bad word, that we have no pride in what's happening in the United States. So they thought better of it once the court of public opinion rained down on the concept of them pulling them out because it was too much of a hot potato. I mean, really, come on. The concept of Buy American is an issue? Is this some kind of a debate over that? We live in America. I know that's the ultimate PC, hypersensitive ridiculousness. That would be controversial. Come on. Wouldn't that resonate with people? Have some pride? Support the people in your community? Because that's the whole thing with buying locally. For goodness sake, that's the idea. Keep the local businesses moving so they don't have to close their doors and let even if it's a handful of people go. In Seattle, what they should do, that group should do, is just have tons of T-shirts, give them out, have somebody sponsor it, give out the T-shirts, Buy American, and just hand them out all over the place. And I think what was being suggested, and probably that's why the buses or the metro thought on second hand, we better not do that. On second thought, we better not do that, is because there was a call for maybe a boycott. So if there were people that boycotted, enough people boycotted, and they could feel it financially, I think they were concerned about that. They were concerned about it. So, I mean, come on. Politics? Ridiculous. What is going on in America? I mean, it's just idiots everywhere. We are being overtaken by screwballs, by idiots that are in charge in King County, because that would be where it is, King County. Why was this even an issue? You know, why did that even make headlines? And they would have gotten, close to $10,000, I said, for the ads, and now they're going to get them anyway. But shame on the King County folks for even making that a controversial issue and a discussion, a hot discussion, the topic of the whole Buy America thing in Seattle. Come on, we can't even support our own people. That's too ridiculous for me.
Discover a natural way to experience cleaner, healthier indoor air without expensive filters and high-priced machines. Discover what healthcare professionals have known for decades. Salt ionizes and purifies indoor air. That's why you need to visit SilverSkyImports.com. SilverSkyImports.com offers a wide assortment of Himalayan crystal salt lamps, handcrafted from salt crystals that are millions of years old, contain healthy ions that eliminate odor, reduce bacteria, and can even help allergy and asthma sufferers, which means you and your family will breathe better, sleep sounder, and have more energy. These salt lamps are available in stunning, natural colors and shapes to accent any home or office, are environmentally friendly, and best of all, they're affordable. And don't forget, SilverSkyImports.com also carries gourmet and bath salts. Order today at SilverSkyImports.com or call 800-494-1369. That's 800-494-1369. Breathe easier, feel better, live healthier at SilverSkyImports.com.
Solar power.
Solar power.
Hand crank power.
Hand crank power.
Radio power.
Radio power.
The goods you want, the good deals you need to power up your survival are at 21stCenturyGoods.com. In our solar department, you'll find solar generator kits, solar lanterns, flashlights, radios, and solar cell phone and laptop chargers. 21stCenturyGoods.com is your hand crank headquarters for everything from generators to flashlights to emergency, weather, and shortwave radios by Grundig and Kato. Big brand names and big deals. Like this. Get a free solar flashlight with every order over $75. But hurry, offer ends soon. Go to 21stCenturyGoods.com, spelled the number 2, the number 1, ST, CenturyGoods.com. That's 21stCenturyGoods.com or call 866-999-8422. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Power up your survival.
From the shattered Rust Belt come the Lost Vegas.
Now, also available in digital format at Amazon and iTunes worldwide.
Don't come calling when your walls start falling down. I've got a little bit of respect. Don't take it away.
How does it feel to be one of the beautiful?
Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas on 180-gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall.
Why don't want me to live?
Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas.
The Lost Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com.
And iTunes.
If you're wide awake and you want to participate for bragging rights and some loot, we have another edition of Nail the Score coming up in our next hour here on America Tonight. Many of you are kind of all over the map so far in December when it comes to your thoughts on a whole bunch of different things. So with that being said, I say if you can't jingle us at 800-259-5791, really big things to me this hour are horse meat. Do I want to eat horse meat? No. Sorry, I can't do it. I grew up around horses, gentle creatures. Don't even look at them that way. I will eat lettuce first. If all we have is horse meat in this country, I'm a vegetarian officially, and I am a meat person, but I am not going down that road. And the idea of slaughtering the horses humanely, it's just not the kind of society we are. Don't you think? Or am I just all wet on that opinion? You could throw in your two on that, as I said, jingle those numbers. And, of course, Kane, it's tick, tick, tick. It's just a matter of what day he decides to jump out of the race. Unless he shocks everybody and says, I'm going to hang on for a while. I'm going to try to weather the storm. Because he's still, in some polls, he's not one or two or even three, because Ron Paul is inching in there a little bit. But he's not getting seven. He's not getting John Huntsman-like numbers or Rick Santorum or Michelle Bachmann in any of the polls that have come up. So he may dig in his heels. I think it really depends on his family, and they are probably tired of being battered. And if he does stay in it, it's not going to go away. Every place he goes, it's always going to be some question, some part of, you know, did this happen? How much did you pay her, the woman who said she had a 13-year affair with him? So it's not going to just disappear if he decides to hang in. That's not happening. So I think it's ultimately just what day does he say, okay, you know, enough's enough. And maybe he ends up still being a factor by being involved in other ways and what's happening with the campaign. I don't know that I think Kane just disappears into the woodwork and goes back to, okay, I've got business decisions to make and businesses to run, so I'm just going to focus on that. I think he's going to hang around in some form, even if he dumps out of the run for the White House. All right, some of you did have thoughts on Kane, so with that in mind, let's head to the mailbag.
The mail is here!
Ooh!
Homer's going to be around forever, isn't he? How many years has The Simpsons been on the air? We've talked about that. 80s, late 80s, The Simpsons debuted. What a franchise. And Homer doesn't cost us very much when he works for us for just a mere pittance here on ATN. Speaking of working, this comes to us from Doris, who says, Kate, check out what happened today on the Hill. I think you've talked about it before, because I've been listening for a while now, but the Senate blowing up the payroll tax cut bills. What was the scoop on that? Yeah, they defeated the two bills because there was competing bills on the extension by the Democrats and the Republicans. So now they negotiate or compromise on whatever's going to happen at this point. It was late night votes, too. And the Senate defeated the Democratic plan. That was inevitable. That would have extended and expanded the payroll tax cut that will expire on December 31st. Republicans didn't like the idea of the new tax, you already know this, on people making, a million or more to cover the $110 billion, because that's what it will be. There'd be lost money from the temporary cut. So the president is really pummeling this, saying it doesn't make any sense. Why would you raise taxes on the middle class when they need it? They're trying to get back on their feet because you're talking $800 to $1,000 in some cases for people that now it's just it won't be there. Where it was taken out before, now you'll notice that it's back in coming, you know, starting in the beginning of the year. So the investment banks and even some economists are warning that if we don't have that, if we don't have that tax cut, that it could have some pretty tough effects on all of us if it's just expires. But it's right now at this point it is. It was going to blow up, and the Republican plan was going to blow up. It would have also ended the tax cut for a year, the Republicans, but it didn't do anything to help the Democrats' proposal, which they wanted the tax further, and they wanted to cut the employer-paid payroll tax, too, so the employers wouldn't get stuck with it. And felt like, if you give both in these cases, what a difference that'll make, maybe even with hiring. Now, somebody said to me today, well, I don't get it. I mean, I get that my check, I had more money in my check, and whatever it was, 50 every 2 weeks or however much it was. It depends on what you get and all that other stuff. But somebody asked me, what about the money? Where does the money go? Well, the money is used for Social Security retirement, right? And they were pushing the tax cut as a way of putting more money. Like I said, you would see it, whether it's 50 bucks or 100 bucks or whatever it is, in the paycheck. That's why it was instituted in the first place. But now if there's no way to pay for it, it's not there, you will feel it. And how much does that affect you especially when you're talking about like $1,000 in a year? How much does $1,000 affect you? All right, let's go on to another email. This one's from John, who says, I'm listening to you in Overland Park. I've been streaming the show for a while, pushing to get you on a giant station here on KC. I'm bombarding on the phone lines, as you say to do, with congressmen and senators. So I'm doing the same for you, Ms. Delaney. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but boy, we are whittling them down in the Republican Party. Do you think it's going to be a race in the end of Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney? Boy, I don't have a crystal ball that can, I can look at all these factors and that's going to tell me exactly how this breaks down. Does the bubble burst for Newt Gingrich like it did for Rick Perry, like it did for Herman Cain? How about Ron Paul? Does he make a move? Because he certainly has loyal followers. What do they do in the primaries? Is there votes to be had there that push him up? I mean, ultimately, he's not going to be the mainstream guy. We know that because his name is mentioned, but sometimes almost reluctantly it's mentioned. I think Mitt Romney's the guy that's going to be there at the end, but is there going to be somebody else strong enough to challenge him to actually take the nomination for the Republicans on August 22nd in Tampa, Florida? There's your question, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Does somebody come out of left field somehow? They'd have to do it soon because of the primary situation, and that hasn't happened. There was all the conversation that heated up about Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, no for him. Even a little bit for the governor of Louisiana, Bobby Jindal. I like Jindal. It would have been interesting to see how he would have fared in those debates, what he would have said, but he's totally focused on Louisiana. He didn't even try to entertain or tease that he might run for president. So that was never going to happen. Some people threw out Jeb Bush in all seriousness. There's no way there was going to be another Bush right now. It wasn't going to happen, I don't think. And so, of course, he didn't pursue that. And I've looked at people who were considered the maybe as future what I call rock stars of the party, but there's nobody ready for prime time that's going to pop up. I don't see it. Some of the stronger people in the past had, because of various reasons, didn't move forward, didn't try to push it forward. So I say Romney for sure is there. Gingrich might be. I don't know. Let's see what happens in these first couple of primaries. If it's Romney, Gingrich, or how that goes, or if Ron Paul decides to jump into the idea of a third party and just do the libertarian thing, you know, under the Libertarian Party and go that route. He keeps saying no when he's asked that question because he's been asked that question more. But that would, that could change things. That could really shake things up. And here's one from Bobby B, who says, I like the poll that you're doing, artificial or real, when it comes to Christmas trees. I'm old school like you, Kate. I say real or nothing.